Actually, that hot sauce, I carry that for protection. All I have to do is just wave it, you know, and they start backing up. Let's see. I guess if I unclick this, that'll come on. The reason that we wanted to speak on this subject was because there's been a lot of controversy about when some of these baptisms took place, who did the baptizing, who did the converting. And so what we've done for about the last 25 or 30 years, every time we could find anything published in one of our brotherhood journals that was a reputable source, we collected that and started comparing what was said. And so you're going to see the results of this morning. One of the main things about the baptisms on Cypress Creek in 1826, and it was 1826, and I hope that you will see that and see why I'm saying that when we're through this morning. But the deal about this is that there's been at least three different dates published in sketches on Talbert Fanning about when he was baptized, 1826, 1827, 1828. And some of those dates were given by men who were supposed to know what they were talking about. But we're learning more and more that there's none of us that has written the perfect history. There's only been one book that's ever been written perfectly, and that was the Word of God. And so where we, with our uninspired talents, just digging here and there, we're going to find things from time to time. And in all fairness to some of the people who have written before, they didn't have they didn't have access to all of the material that perhaps we do today. The electronic age, you know, has given us a lot of sources that normally you wouldn't find. And even Brother Earl West, the man that I studied under for 3 years at Harding Graduate School, Brother West would say, you know, there's material available now that wasn't available when I wrote my first volume. And even he, if he'd have gone back and revised, his first volume revised would have been different than the first one because of the new material that's come to light. So I'm going to share that with you. Enough said about that. And so let us talk about the baptisms on Cypress Creek in 1826. As I said, very much has been said about Talbert Fanning's baptism, but there were some more people baptized there too, and one or two of them was quite well known in their day. But several problems are connected with Fanning's baptism. Different dates have been given. Different preachers have been credited with his conversion, and even those who might have immersed him. I've got one account that says Brother Ephraim D. Moore baptized him. Well, that's not true. And we're going to show that this morning. But we're going to use sources from the people that were present at this baptism. And believe it or not, there's a lot more sources available than you might have ever imagined. There's at least five or six different accounts given by people who were there when it took place. So we're going to look at those. First of all, you're familiar with Brother Talbert Fanning. One of his greatest achievements among many was he started the Gospel Advocate. And he had other journals before this and after the Advocate. Even during the time he was publishing the Advocate, he had other journals. But B.F. Hall's account is where we're going to start, because this is the man who actually preached the sermon that converted Brother Talbert Fanning and some other people whose names I'll reveal later. We find Hall's account in two sources, and even that has created a problem, because in Samuel Rogers' account, in his autobiography, somehow they got something out of place. And you wind up with the date 1827. And I think I can show you how that happened. But Brother Hall left an unpublished autobiography, and the original is in the Texas Christian University Library. Now, Brother R.L. Roberts, years ago, told me he didn't know about the original. He found a transcribed copy through a student there, and so he gave me a copy transcribed years and years ago. Well, then later, I was privileged to go to the library there, and I saw the original. And then I think Brother Scott has a copy, a photocopy of the original as well as the transcribed copy. So B.F. Hall then left us an amazing piece of history that most people didn't know about until finally Brother Roberts, through the Restoration Quarterly and then in some lectures, began to talk about this and piqued a lot of people's interest. Now, this is the only known picture of B.F. Hall. Now, there may be more, and the reason I say this, we've been looking for 30 years for a picture of Brother James Madison Pickens, the man who T.B. Larimore worked with when he got the idea for the school at Mars Hill. Well, just a couple of weeks ago, Brother Larry Whitehead in Birmingham contacted one of Pickens' relatives in Texas and got us a picture of J.M. Pickens. Even the State Archives of Alabama didn't have a picture of Pickens, and he ran for governor in 1880. So that's how hard some of these things are to find. And there may be more pictures somewhere. Now, this is Hall's own account. And of course, this is the transcribed copy, and I'm going to fuss on Scott. Of course, you followed the transcribed copy, I believe, there. Is that correct? Actually, in the original, it is Talbert Fanning. The T is one of those fancy T's, and Scott didn't transcribe this, by the way. One of Brother Robert's students transcribed this years and years ago. And so when Scott got a copy like I did, he just followed that because that's all you can do. But in the original, it is Talbert Fanning. We know that. But he says, early in the spring of 1826, I paid a short visit to Kentucky and returned to Tennessee with me, my youngest brother, B.W. Hall, a youth of 18, whom I immersed that summer for remission of sins. And so the reason I want you to see that first line is because that's important. That's going to be attached to something else a little later. In September that year, he said, I attended a camp meeting in Cypress, on Cypress, and that's Cypress Creek as we know it, in Lauderdale County, Alabama. On Sunday night, the brethren put me on a table under a large arbor in the middle of a large audience. I discoursed on baptism for remission of sins. In the conclusion, I invited forward penitents to confess Christ, preparatory to their being immersed for remission of sins. Several presented themselves, and among them, Talbert Fanning, then a youth. They were immersed the next morning in Cypress Creek by James E. Matthews. That's James Evans Matthews. And Brother Matthews is buried down in the northeast corner of Mississippi. And he goes on to say here that I will remember the tall form and the awkward gangling appearance of T.F. as he appeared at the water with neither shoes nor coat nor vest. See, the garments he had on were shirt, pantaloons, and socks, and his socks and pantaloons did not meet by some inches. I thought he was about as uncouth-looking a youth as I had seen in many a day. But under the influence of Christianity and proper training and educational advantage, he has become a man of distinction, eminence, and usefulness. Now, here's what we want to see. He said early in 1826, he goes back to Kentucky. That's when, and later he will tell the story. This is when he reads the Campbell-McCullough debate, where Campbell makes the argument that baptism is for remission of sins. Well, Hall had never heard this before, but he was so excited about it that they couldn't shut him up. He started preaching it everywhere. And so he, as far as we know, was the first man to ever preach that in Lauderdale County, Alabama. And later we're going to see Carol Kendrick's account where he talks about how that they had the old Methodist way of calling them to the mourner's bench up until this point. But he didn't do that night. He called for people to come down and make it known they wanted to be baptized, and they were. Now, Brother Hall right here, he would get his feelings hurt sometimes because folks didn't give him the credit that he felt he deserved, and I think he did deserve it. Someone in a brief biography of President Talbert Fanning in the Living Pulpit represents that Brother Fanning was converted as well as baptized for Brother James E. Matthews in the year, and he couldn't remember what year that W.T. Moore had put in the book, obviously, and so he never did go back. Maybe he didn't have a copy of that, but he didn't go back, but Moore put 1827 there. And so Brother Hall left that blank, and when he died, it was still blank. But on this page, 515, we find that it was in October 1827. But Brother Hall points out, this is a mistake. At the time alluded to, Brother Matthews was not even a believer in baptism for remission of sins. And he's going to go on and tell how that after Brother Matthews heard him preach, he was so excited about this that he wanted to do something about it. So Hall encourages him to write 3 articles on the subject. And later, when Hall would come back, I guess early in 1828, because he didn't come back in 1827. He leaves Alabama, and we'll see that in a little bit, and doesn't return until 1828. But it was in 1828 when the articles were published in Brother Stone's Christian Messenger. And did that stir up something in the Messenger? Men who had been preaching for a long time challenged Brother Matthews on it. And some even said, well, that's the silliest thing I ever heard of. And later, a few months later, they were saying, we were wrong. Brother Matthews is right. That is what the Bible teaches. So Hall stirred up some things there in 1826. And that's why that I think that we should focus in on that event. That's one of the most important events that affected, I believe, our whole restoration movement that happened in 1826 at this baptism. But he goes on to say here that being an honest man and possessed of fine sense, that's talking about Matthews, he gave the subject a thorough investigation and at my request and by my assistance wrote several articles on the subject for publication in the Christian Messenger, published and edited by Brother Stone. I myself took them to Brother Stone on my return to Kentucky the following spring. So he says the following spring, that would be 1827. The articles created quite a sensation among the Brotherhood at the time and called for several reviews of his articles. This was the time the subject of baptism for remission of sins had been discussed in the Christian Messenger, and these articles opened the way for full discussion of the whole subject in all its phases, and was the means of convincing many. After the publication of Brother Matthew's articles, Brother Stone and others fell into line, and others gradually came over to the side of the truth. So, you see, when Hall preached this sermon that night, standing on that table under that brush arbor, he probably never imagined what was going to happen. Brother Basil Overton, many of you knew him, and Scott's heard him say this. He would say, I love what I'm doing because I don't know what I'm doing. Meaning he didn't know the end results. And Hall sure didn't know what he was doing there. He never imagined what was going to become of that lesson, what was going to be stirred up. But the ball started rolling. I guess, as my granddaddy would say, the fur started flying. Talbert Fanning was born in Cannon County. Now, this is another account. May the 10th, 1810, when he was 8 years of age, his parents moved to Lauderdale County, Alabama. Every source we've ever found agrees with that. But he goes on to talk here about he was allowed to attend school from 3 to 6 months in the year, and it was good fortune to be placed under the care of excellent teachers. Now, what I want to get to here is the rest of that that sketch. At times, his young heart was deeply impressed with the necessity of religion, but he was taught that all men are in a state of total darkness and must remain till illuminated by special communication of the Spirit. Well, we drop down here. When 16 years of age, that would be 1826, by the way. He was born in 1810. He's 16 years old. That's 1826. So the date agrees there. When he was 16, he began to pay attention to the preaching of Ephraim D. Moore and James E. Matthews, who called themselves Christian preachers. Now, that part, that far, that's true, because Brother Matthews and Moore were working in the community where Brother Fanning was living. But then he goes beyond his sources. and were great and good men. That's true. For their teaching, he was encouraged to read the New Testament with the view really acquiring spiritual light. Soon, all was plain, and his gloomy doubts gave place to an intelligent faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. About the 1st of October, and here's where he really misses the mark, 1827, he attended a meeting on Cypress Creek, 7 miles north of Florence, and heard James Matthews preach a masterly discourse on the gospel and its conditions. At the conclusion of the discourse, he walked forward and with perfect understanding of the truth, made the confession, and was immediately immersed into Christ. Now that's what Brother Hall was complaining about. There's a whole bunch of stuff there that's not true. The date's not right. Brother Matthews did not preach the sermon, the gospel in its conditions, and it was Hall that preached. And so W.T. Moore, and he's the one that wrote that particular article on Fanning, so that's what Brother Hall was complaining about when he made that statement. Now, we're back to Hall's autobiography now. The following winter, I held a debate in Williamson County with Mr. A.S. Andrews, a Methodist. And he says it was on the subject and action of baptism. He was a gentleman and an honorable debater. The discussion was conducted with good feeling throughout. He was a fluent speaker, possessed fine logical powers. He deported himself well considering the cause he advocated. But public sentiment, I learned, was against him. And as to the result, this was my first public discussion. And then he goes on, in the early part of the winter, that's still 1826 now, I taught a grammar school at Cypress Meeting House. And so that's the first time we knew they had a meeting house in 1826. You know, they were having that big camp meeting under the Brush Arbor. But now he's teaching in the meeting house there at Cypress Creek. And that's only about 4 or 5 miles from where our college is at. And early in the following January, I married Dorinda C. That's Dorinda Chisholm, daughter of John Chisholm, Esquire, of that county. I continued to prosecute the study of medicine under the instruction of Dr. Rucker of Florence, Alabama. Now then, watch. In the spring, I took my wife on a visit to my relations in Kentucky. In the fall, settled in Werner County, and that's supposed to be Mercer County. That's what I was telling you about, Scott. That's supposed to be Mercer County there, with view of preaching to some congregations in that county. And one was in Washington County at Hillsboro. Mercer County is where Harrodsburg is at, and that's where he settled. And he was preaching there at the old mud meeting house, and I'll show you that in a little bit. But let's back up here just a minute. I want us to see. Notice he said, in the spring, I took my young wife on a visit to my relations. See, he married her during that winter, and we can give you the exact date in a little bit, and all of that matches up to what Hall says in his autobiography. I've not found anything documentary that disproves anything Hall has said in his autobiography. So he was pretty much on target. I guess he knew what he really did. You know, some people think when you write your autobiography that you're old and senile and you don't know half what you did. You remember you did something, but you're not sure what. In Bowles' sketch on page 151, he says, in October 1827, he attended a meeting held by James E. Matthews about 7 miles north of Florence. At one service, he heard Mr. Matthews preach on the gospel and its conditions. Wonder where Brother Bowles got that. He got it out of W.T. Moore's book. That's word for word. Right out of at a service, he heard Mr. Matthews preach on the gospel and its conditions. And at the conclusion of the discourse, he made the good confession and was immediately baptized into Christ. Now, I can back that up if anybody wants me to, but that's almost word for word what W.T. Moore had written about 1881 or 82, somewhere along in there. So Brother Bowles was quoting from a source that he thought was a valid source. That's why we have to check our sources, brothers and sisters. Just because somebody said it does not make it correct. As I said, we're not inspired like the apostles were. And so people make mistakes. And if I copy someone who made a mistake, I'm just going to help perpetuate a mistake. And that's what Brother Bowles did several times in his book. I love the book. It's useful in research. But it also, you have to research with caution because he did make some mistakes. This is Brother Samuel Rogers. And Scott and I and Brother Tom, we've agonized over the fact that Brother Rogers' grave is only marked with a big old, looks like a concrete slab with a SR on it. That's the only identification. The only reason we know it's his grave is because in John T. Brown's book, I believe, The Church of Christ, he says that Brother Rogers was buried by his son, Captain, what is it? William Rogers, I believe. And when you find William Rogers' grave, lo and behold, there's E.R. and S.R., Elizabeth Rogers and Samuel Rogers, buried there beside him. But this brother here was quoting he tells about his son having a source on the life of Brother Hall. And it's in this book right here, Autobiography of Samuel Rogers. And here's what it says. Now, I'm not going to read that whole thing, but here's what he says. Elder B.F. Hall, in a sketch of his life in possession of my son, John I. Rogers, gives a scrap of history very interesting, which will not be out of place. On the 15th of May, AD 1825, I was, by prayer and imposition of hands, ordained by the venerated Brother B.W. Stone and others. Brother T.M. Allen, now Missouri, was ordained at the same time. The ordination took place at Old Union, Fayette County, and of course that's Kentucky. But then, this is 1825, and so we're not going to follow up on what happened in 1825, because that's before the baptism on Cypress Creek. But here, early next spring, 1826, I set out for Kentucky to see my friends. He had been in Alabama in the end of 1825. And he says, especially my aged mother, whom I greatly desired to see before she passed to her reward. And then he starts talking about stopping in. This is the story that probably most of you are familiar with. How he stops at the Gist, and that's actually Gist. If you go up there and look at all the records in that area, it was not G-U-E-S-S. That's the way people said it. But Gist was the way it was spelled. And some of them were members at the old Mulkey Meeting House, which was just 3 or 4 miles up the road from where Hall stopped. And so probably these people were members there. But anyway, he finds that debate on baptism printed by Brother Campbell, and it was between Campbell and McCall in Washington, Kentucky, 1823. So he reads that, and he finally, for the first time, he sees the truth, he thinks, in baptism for remission of sins. And so after that, he begins preaching. But then we get to, in the summer of 1826, he met Brother Stone, and he talks about how that Brother Stone says, yes, I preached that earlier in the century, and it was like throwing chilling water or icy water on the audience. See here, he told me that he had preached it earlier in the present century and that it was like ice water thrown on the audience. It chilled them and came very near to driving vital religion.